Can I maybe take one of these too?
To Adonai, Eloheinu, Melech Ha'olam, Shehakol Me'Yavro. It's always a pleasure, a schus, and a tremendous kavod to come back, not just to Eretz Yisrael, but befrat to come back to Yerushalayim HaKodesh, and to come back to one of the greatest yeshivas in the world today, Yeshivas Eish HaTorah. We're holding now by Zos Chanukah, and we've been reciting already for over a week's time, Al HaNisim. Both in our Shmoneh Esreis and in our benching, Al HaNisim, the Al HaNiflo. So I understand all those terminologies. Gemaldik, let's use this golden opportunity. Carpe diem, let's seize the moment to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to lavish the Ribono Shel Olam with endless approbation and accolades. I understand. But how do you get to the end of the sentence, V'yala Machomas, let's thank the Ribono Shel Olam for the wars? We're thanking Hashem Yisbaruch for the wars. Halavai, we wouldn't have to deal with any battles, Bechlau. We would never have to engage in warfare. We're not the belligerent nation by nature, Yavama, Scientessim, and Aleph. We know we're defined by three cardinal traits, Rachmanim, Baishonim, Gomle Chasodim. We are a merciful, compassionate people. We know how to commiserate. We empathize. We always look for chances to avoid war at all costs. And here, not only did we engage in war, but Adkadekach to the extent, Ribono Shel Olam, thank you! Hakaras Atayv, not just for the Nisim and the Neflos and the Purkan and the Yeshua, but we want to thank you for the Machama. What in the world is going on here? And if it indeed is a reference to the actual war that transpired on the battlefield, then shouldn't we be makbid? Shouldn't we be meticulous with regards to the sequence? You can't have a miracle without the war that preceded that ensuing miracle. And therefore, the proper nusach should therefore be Al HaMelchomos, first and foremost, thank you Hashem for the Melchomos, for giving us the war, and then bringing them out, the Nisim. And then it flows, but to go ahead and throw it in the back, piggybacking on the Nisim, Kilo, it's an afterthought. Oh, and by the way, thank you Hashem for the Melchomos. How do you understand the nusach coined by Anshei Knesset HaGedola? What's going on here? To the extent that the Otzar Tfilos in Chelek Aleph, the Anaf Yosef commentary cites the Sefer Shari Tefillah, who says we have no choice but to take out the Vav. Let's alter the Nusach ever so slightly and read it, not V'yal Mechomas Kilo, it's its own independent thought, but rather we're thanking the Ribono Shel Olam Al Nisim V'Anaflos, Al HaMechomas, thank you for the Teshua, for bringing about, for triggering, for engendering that Gevaldige salvation, and taking us out of the war. And it's not a separate thank you for the Mechomos. Read it, Choser Vav, drop the prefix of the Vav, and it's rather thanking Hashem for those glorious miracles, that Teshua, that salvation, for taking us away from our adversary, our belligerent foe, that mighty Greek army, Yavam. But clearly that's a dochek, that's not the nusach that we have it, so let's turn to another teretz. The Droshus Rabbeinu Yosef Nechemya, Kornazur, he was an ab based in Krakow, and a daf kuf ches of the Droshus published years ago by Machon Yerushalayim writes, Rabbeinu Yosef Nechemya, Einachnami, we would never thank Hashem Yisbar for giving us wars, but once He gave us Nisim Kluyim, and these were Nisim that were Lamailam and Atevas, the Maral expounds upon in their mitzvah. They were all taking place in Lamailam and Atevas. The only reason we even needed, explains the Maral, the Nes and the Pach Shemen, was merely to shed light, to go ahead and highlight that it wasn't Stam military strategy and tactic that guaranteed our victory over the potent Greek army. It was rather all the Yad Hashem, L'maylam and Ateva. It made no sense. It's inexplicable. You can't go ahead and dismiss it simply to military strategy and tactics. It was none other than the Yad Hashem orchestrating events behind the world stage every single step of the way. And we needed the Nesed of Hashem, and writes the Maral, to serve as the Giloy Milsa, to reveal, to disclose to one and all that everything was the Yad Hashem, even on the battlefield was the Yad Hashem through thick and thin, every single step of the way, 24/7. So now that we had these unbelievable miracles, now we're going to thank the Ribbono Shel Olam. You know what? Thanks for giving us the Mochama. Ein Hachanami, if we didn't need the Mochama, we would be fine, we would be content without the war. But now that we were Zochu, we merited to observe, to witness Nisim Gluyim, Nisim Lamailim, and Atzeva. Now we're going to thank Hashem not just for those incredible Nisim, those unbelievable miracles, that's going to serve as the Gilei Milso, that will engender other thank yous. Thank you for the Goreim, for that which fostered, which nurtured those ensuing miracles. Thank you, Ribbono Shel Olam, for the actual Mahoma, the initial war that actually produced and engendered all those incredible miracles. You know what? We will never thank you independently. And therefore, it explains the Nusach. We're thanking Hashem for the Mechaba, but not first and foremost, no. Barosh HaBrishon is Al-Anisim, the Al-Aniflos, but Ribbono Shel Olam, now that you gave us such a glorious revelation of the Divine, and we see now the Yad Hashem so lucid, so transparent to fashion, and we can't say it's anything but the Yad Hashem. Now we're going to thank Hashem for having given us the Mechaba, which provided the Rekha, the backdrop, which set everything in motion, got the ball rolling. Thank you, not just for the Nisim, thank you for the Mechaba that started it all. Another pshat, I heard b'shem a Rav Khan from Yeshivas Rabbeinu Yitzhak Achan and a Rav in Brooklyn said that we're thanking the Ribbono Shel Olam because it was important for Klal Yisrael to know that we were indeed engaged in a war. Hellenism, as Rav Hunter, as Marach and Pachad Yitzhak and Chanukah, we don't encounter Mizbavlim converting en masse when it came to Golas Bavel. And likewise, we don't encounter Mizfarsim when it comes to the Golas of Paris and Mandai. Tafka and the wreck on the backdrop of Golas Yavan, do we witness this horrific Misyavin, this concept of Hellenism, people converting and intermarrying and going to the Greek Olympics? We find now the influence of Greece. We're thanking Hashem for letting us know there was a Mahama here. Because oftentimes we go through life and we think, what's the big deal? And we are swallowed up. We're seduced and lured by temptations so rampant throughout Western civilization. Hashem gave us the opportunity to recognize that there's a Mahama going on here. We're going to thank it for the war. We have to know that we're battling a Greek army and the harmful, the pernicious Greek influence. We have to be aware of that. Thank you, Hashem Yisbar, for letting me know who my opponent is. Letting me know that I'm engaged in warfare right now against the Malchus Yavon and all the negativity, all the negative hashpa that they represent. Svasemes and Shnas Tofrei Shalom and Aleph again and Tofrei Shalom and Vav in the name of his saintly grandfather, the Heilige Chedush Yerim Zatzal, echoes the idea that Howl and Hadar means we're thanking Hashem, not just for the miracles, we're thanking Hashem that He gave us the opportunity to see to it that we were fighting a Mahama and that we were fighting against Machus Yavon, and now that we know that, we're going to thank Hashem for that opportunity to give halal and adah, even that which we initially perceived at the very outset and might have looked terrible. Things looked to be, I face me, or what's going to be? Now that Hashem gave us the Mechama, we know our opponent, we know against whom we are fighting this war, and we're going to thank Hashem for that opportunity, mixing together the aforementioned opinions. And then we get to a Moyedik Evart by the Panovitch Rav Zechat Tzadik Levrach. And the Panovitch Rav, bought by Mosfirsky, in the Chelek Gimel Daf Ayin Aleph of his biographical work on the Ponovitch Harav, Harav Miponovitch, he cites a mimer that the Ponovitch Harav, a speech that he delivered back in Chanukah Tovshin Chavav. Ponovitch Harav was speaking in the context of a new yeshiva going up, a Chanukah Sabayis. And he also asked this question, what in the world are we thanking Hashem for the Mechama for? Why should we thank the Ribono Shel Olam for having given us a war against the Greek army? To which the Ponovitch Harav explained so beautifully. The war against Yavon we're still fighting today. There was no Nitzach on Gomer. We didn't emerge completely victorious against that mighty Greek opponent. And all of that negative, harmful hashpa that they represented, that Greece encompassed in its entirety. We're still fighting it today. We're thanking Hashem for the Mechama because Hashem Yisbarach implanted and ingrained and our ancestors to recognize we're fighting against Yavon. And we'll always be fighting until B'yas Kol Tzedek M'Heirav Yameinu, until Yemosa Mashiach. It's a war we're always going to be fighting the influence of sports and athletics and the Olympics and all those temptations that lure and seduce us incessantly. They're always trying to grab us, take away our attention from learning from Avodas Hashem. We're still battling that Mechama. We're thanking Hashem because you implanted and ingrained into the DNA of our ancestors the ability to be lochem, to go ahead and pick up, not necessarily the physical sword, but the metaphorical, the figurative means of fighting against the Greek harmful influence. Thank you, Ribono Shel Olam, for giving us a war. Thank you for giving our ancestors the ability to recognize we're in a war and it's a continuous, incessant war we'll be fighting until the arrival of Mashiach Tzidkenu. They implanted it in our DNA, and that's what we're thanking Hashem for. Similar idea of Avram Achia, Gon Perkei Avram, and Perkei Avos, Perkei Mishnah and Gimel Rochaim Voloshin, as well as Ruach Chaim commentary, Piasor Nisyonos and Sasa Avram Avinu. Asks the Avram Achia Gro, the brother of the Vilna Gaon, as well as the disciple Rochaim Voloshin. In the preceding Mishnah, we simply mention him as Avram without that modifying statement, that branding him with the appellation of Avinu. So why do we add Avinu? Explains Rochaim Voloshin. Because any Nisayon that our Avos, that our holy patriarchs ingrained, inculcated within their DNA, within their very core being, their Etzem Ahus, it was now Yarshint, it is now bequeathed to all the descendants, all the Scions, as an inheritance. We also have a burning desire and insatiable thirst to want to come to Etzel. Why? Because Avraham Avinu passed Lech Lecha. And we could sacrifice our own lives to be Mekadeshim Shemayim, just as Avraham, our forefather, our illustrious ancestor, sacrificed his own life by jumping into the Kibshon Eish, the fiery furnace. We now have that too. Where do we get it from? Avraham Avinu, because we're the Ben and he's the Av. He gave us that ability. And so too writes the Ponovitch Harav. A handful of Chashmonom rose to the occasion. They stepped up to the plate. B'malkam Sheinish, Ishtadol Yos Ish. They waged war against the mighty Greek army. And on a far more profound level, it was battling against that pernicious Greek influence. And they emerged the victor, not completely victorious. We're still fighting them today. It was not the Nitzach and Gomor. Itake is a Mechama, and it'll be a Mechama that will last and will endure until the end of days. But because they fought, because Mila Hashem Elayim, they answered that clarion call. They stepped up to the plate when nobody else wished to do so. And they fought, and they gave it everything they got to Mamela. It's now ingrained in our DNA, in our core. Or Etzem Ahus, and every fabric of our being as well. So yes, we'll thank Hashem for the Mechama. Because that's what enabled and empowered our ancestors, the Chashmonoi, to fight and to give us the Kochos Rabos V'Atzumos to continue fighting against Greece and all that Greece represents at a Yom HaZeh. So here we are fighting the war. And here we are, Achrus Hayomim, as the Ponovitch Harav told us. And we're still battling, whether it's Olympics, whether it's sports, whether it's all the temptations and the lures of secular society out there. And yet, we turn to a Peladik Gemara, an astounding passage in the Gemara Megillah. Towards the bottom of the Vav Amud Aleph, the Gemara cites a pasuk in Zechariah Perek Tes and says, Asidin, Sori Yehuda, to be Malami, Torah, the Tartius, and the Karksias, and the Goyim. that in the future we're going to be learning Torah where? In the theaters, the sports stadiums, and the circuses of the Goyim. And after we're going to be learning Torah. Think about it. Anyone who had the schus to be at the last Sea of Ashas in MetLife Stadium where the Jets play, where the Giants tried to play. It's unbelievable. 93,000 Yidden are there in MetLife Stadium. Not coincidentally, Dvarim Gedolim of a Mikra. It's MetLife. It went from Met to Chai, from Misa to Chayim. MetLife Stadium, there was a big cleansing. As the Bayana Rebbe said, before we have a Siyam HaShash, we need a cleansing. As Tzodik writes, it's Tzitkas HaTzodik. Ador HaMabul was a large inundation. What was the great deluge? You needed a cleansing, a purging of all the foibles and imperfections of society. You needed to cleanse society. There needed to be a Mabul, which is the figurative large mikvah. In order to have a Siyam HaShash, first we got to get rid of the remnants, the Shirayim of the Jets and Giants and all the concerts that go on in MetLife Stadium. Bayana Rebbe even predicted it's going to rain. Sure enough, it rained on that day where we had the Siyam HaShas, and then you had 93,000 Jews gathered together, and of course, all these other places throughout the world. Everyone was watching, everyone participating. That's where we need to learn Torah. I thought we're trying to get away from Greece. They gave us the Olympics. They gave us the Olympics without any clothes on. They worshiped the human body. They venerated the physical anatomy of man. That's what they worshiped. That's what they so revered. And here we go. Ikvasad Mashiach on our door. Put Bismaneno. And now we're going to learn Torah. And the theaters and circuses of the guy. And Ringling Brothers. And Bonham and Bailey Circus. And Madison Square Garden. Billy Joel and Elton John concerts. Madison Square Garden. The Knicks. Madison Square Garden, and this is where we had a Siyam HaShas, and this is where you to get together to learn. It's Mamash Hakim of what Chazal had predicted over 2,000 years ago. Unbelievable. We don't need a bolster, Chazal, but here it's substantiated. The Lamaisa, Pukhasi, go out and see. We're having a Siyam HaShas, the greatest scale of learning Torah today. And Madison Square Garden, 30,000-40,000 gathered together in the Coliseum. You have places where the Islanders and the Rangers are playing hockey, and now you have 93,000 in MetLife Stadium. The world over, it's Taka Kiyam, a fulfillment of this Chazal. Here we witness firsthand the actualization of what they have foreseen thousands of years ago. We're going to be learning Torah in the theaters, the circuses of the Goyim. Ask the Ksav Sefer. What in the world is going on here? Now I know parenthetically there are practical concerns from a pragmatic perspective. You need a place that's large enough. But there are convention centers, there are places you can host it. And the end of the day, there's got to be something far more profound taking place behind the scenes. Writes the Ksav Sefer, the renowned son of the Gold Hador, the Ksav Sefer in his time. In the 1800s, the Ksav Sefer is writing in a collection of letters called Igros Sofrit. It's a compilation of diverse letters penned by the illustrious Eger and Sofer Mishpochus. And in the 18th letter, in the section attributed to the Ksav Sofer, he asks this question. I thought we were running away from Greece and all that Greece represented. And here we are learning Torah in the theaters and circuses of the non-Jews. What in the world is going on here? What's the deeper lesson? What message are we to glean? That we have to have a Siyam HaShas where the Jets and Giants play football, where people are getting drunk on 17 cups of beer and going mashug and acting like behemoths. This is where we learn Torah. Explains the Ksav Sefer precisely. Because we saw the Kamos from the perspective of quantitatively. How many people are learning today? It's unbelievable. Baruch Hashem, new yeshivas are opening up every week. Bate Knesiyos and Bate Midrash is rampant throughout the world. It's gemaldic. More people are learning Torah than ever in the history of the world, even more than Surupim Bedis. It's incredible, quantitatively, how much we're learning in the Daf Yomi, so widespread. So what's missing? A pivotal, a very crucial ingredient is still chaser, still glaringly absent. Writes the Ksav Sefer, you know what's missing? What's missing is that the brand, the hislavus, the geschmack that you're supposed to get out of your learning. Where's the excitement? Remember the last time I know it was years ago, Eschatayanim Eskireyo. Years ago when I went to a ball game. Can you imagine, never a football game, but you see the pictures of doing the wave. Everyone gets so into it. And your favorite team scores a touchdown and you're jumping up and down and people are spilling beer all over the place and giving beer hugs. And they're going mamash mashuga, and don't forget about the 3 hours in traffic just to get to the game. And the 3 hours plus in traffic getting out of the game. And don't forget the parking. You go to Madison Square Garden, whether it's Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Elder Circus, whether it's a concert. You're going into Manhattan. You can't just go to the concert. You can't just go see the Knicks play. You got to go out to dinner for some people to be a kosher delight, a J2, if you don't have that much money. If you're not a season ticket holder, other people, it's going to be La Marais, it's going to be some fancy steakhouse. And then you got to do parking. Parking costs more than the tickets to the game itself in Manhattan these days. And then you go into the game, and some people are season ticket holders or VIP boxes, and you're there in the front. I remember someone came over to me a few years ago and said, "Rabbi, we have a special booth by one of the owners and Barclays, if you want to watch a Nets game, do you want to come? And don't worry, you'll give a shiur at halftime, and it'll be great. We have free food, juice. Never go ahead and stay away from free food. And we have everything." I said, "It's okay, I don't need to go to a Nets game. I'm not a Nets fan, but anyway, I'm going to go. You're going to be speaking to me in the whole time. I'm not going to be able to watch the game regardless." So I said, "You know what, I'm going to pass, but boots and this and fancy food, look how much time, energy, and money is expended for these season ticket holders and the booths. Look at the money, the time, the energy, and excitement. Hey, Mr. Sure's going to say it's great, Gavaldic, you're learning Yesha Tyrus pack. But where's the brand, the Islamists? Where's that dynamism? Where's that excitement? The enthusiasm? Do you spend as much money? When was the last time you were in a farm store? And you're in this farm store and you're thinking, oh, how much is this? 40 shekels? Isn't that a little too much? You know what? Let's handle a little bit. Maybe I can get it for 35. Comes the slices of pizza, J2. Comes the Knicks, $150 a ticket. You don't even think twice. And the parking and the restaurant. Oh, should I buy the safer? I don't know. Let me think about it. I'm vacillating. Should I get it? Should I spend money on Rukhriya? Tuition. Let me cut my cost for tuition. I'll go ahead and be a season ticket holder and I'll make sure to have a private parking space, and I'll go out and meet with the players, the celebrities after the game. Oh, but I'm going to cut back on my tuition, on my ruchnias, chalil v'chas. Where's the excitement? Where's the time, money, and energy spent? Remember years ago, I had a talmid, I had a student who came over to me by Sukkos, right before Sukkos, and he says, "Rebbe, where can I get a $250 esrog?" I said, "You're bedavka looking for a $250 esrog. Why?" He says, "I'll tell you the truth, Rebbe." He says, "I took my wife out to dinner last night, and I took her to a fancy restaurant here in Yerushalayim, and I spent $250. He says, "I don't want to go with the Sukkos, and the Eibushter God, the Almighty, is going to tell me. I don't understand. A dinner for your wife, $250, it's over, it's done with. Farting, that's it, there's nothing more to talk about. $250 for dinner for your wife, but $250 you can't spend on a mitzvah, deraisa, on a biblical commandment of fulfilling pre-Eitz Hadar for 7 days of Sukkos, that you can't spend the money on." Heard years ago a story of Surah Mashkiach in a yeshiva. There's a bachur who never made it to Shacharis on time the entire course of the calendar year. All of a sudden comes Bein Hazman and Pesach time is going back to the States. Okay, this is great. Time to go back to the States. The only flight he was able to get, leaving at 7 o'clock in the morning from Tel Aviv. He had to get up at 4:30 in the morning. Mashkiach goes into his room in the middle of the night. He changes all the alarm clocks. And sure enough, the guy sleeps through. Hears about the story. He approaches the Mashkiach and he says, "Mashkiach, I don't understand. I missed my flight. I'm going to have to pay a little bit more money. I have to redo the whole ticket business. What's going on here?" And he says, "Don't you realize I saved you from a Maradik Kitrin? Because you're going to get up to Shemayim after 120. You're going to be standing in front of Beis Shemayla. And they're going to say you can never make Shacharis once the whole year. But to get on that airplane, to go back to America, to relax, to chill, Bein Hazmanim, you can get up not just at 7 o'clock, but at 4:30 in the morning. Imagine the Tviya, the Kitrin that would be on you in Shemayim. Look what I saved you from." Again, parenthetically, is Alachik Shaila discussed by the Soros Tshuva back in Eva's Das and changing people's alarm clocks. I'm not suggesting, certainly Shalom Bayis, what to do or not to do. Our lesson is, better come to Shacharis sometime. How much money do we spend when it comes to Gashmias? Right, so the Ksav Sefer, that's a pshat in the Gemara of Avodah Zarah, Da Beis, Amin Beis, the Brisker Rav, and others already dealt with the question. La'osa lovo, in the future, Hashem's going to hold all the nations of the world accountable, all the endless persecution vis-a-vis the Jewish nation, and they're all going to say, "What do you mean, Abishur, the Almighty? We did this, all the bridges and the skyscrapers and the highways, we did it all for the Jews, we didn't do it for ourselves." Asks the Ksav Sefer as well, what in the world are they thinking? Makasanka Daitach, what's the Havamina that they're entertaining? They really believe in the Olam Hamet, that they built the skyscrapers and the Empire State Building and the circuses and the theaters and the stadiums. They did it all for the Yid and they did it for themselves. How do they know they did it for themselves? So what's the pshat in the Gemara, my pesha hadvarim? Explains like some sefer, you're right, they did it for themselves. But they did it in a full view of the Jewish people with such blood, sweat, and guts, with such endless time and energy and cost. And they said, "We did this in full view of the Jewish people that they shall learn from us and glean that all-important message, and if we're putting the time, the energy, The expenditures all for what? For skyscrapers, for theaters and stadiums and circuses. The Jews should have learned that lesson and applied that to their learning, to their ruchnius. So the Ksav Sofer says that's why in the future we have to be having a Siyum HaShas where the football stadiums are. And when the circuses and concerts are, why? Because we have to learn, look how people get up. And they go crazy when there's a slam dunk, when there's a touchdown. And they go meshuggah and they act like behemoths and look at the time and the energy. And no one's complaining about the crowds and the waiting on lines. And how come we don't have the same attitude, at the very least, the minimal attitude of, do I spend as much time, energy in my ruchnius? Do I give as much care and concern? And enthusiasm and dynamism and verve and excitement for every aspect of my avodas Hashem. Why am I in a better mood when my favorite football team wins than when I walk out of a great seder learning? Shouldn't that give us the greatest geshmak of them all? The Alter Slobodka, going back to the famous Slobodka Yeshiva in Europe, one Friday afternoon he saw one of his prized Talmidim, one of his best disciples, emerging from the Beis Medrash on a Friday afternoon or having sat for 5 consecutive hours. And he took one look at him and he said, Rabbi Yid, you're a tzaddik, but you look like a Rasha. So what do you mean? Rabbi, I'm a tzaddik, but I look like a Rasha. He says, you're a tzaddik because you just learned on a Friday afternoon. How many people are learning on Friday afternoon? And on Erev Shabbos, you took out the time and you learned for Chamei Shulos with Tzufas for 5 consecutive hours, you're a gevaldik tzaddik. But you look like a Russia. How is it shaykh that a Jew just learned for 5 hours? And you're not jumping for joy. You're not doing a rakida. You're not walking out with the greatest smile on your face. You just learned for 5 hours. How can you not be jumping for joy? Rav Gifter used to take his talmidim in a dance after hearing a great kashan shir. We could do a wave at a football game. For these guys, you have IQs that are 5 times the IQs of these players. They're getting paid millions of dollars and they'll switch. They don't have the loyalty. They'll switch teams to make more money. They don't care about you. They don't even know that you exist. But vicariously through them, I'll get excited. And the Yankees win. Oh, who won this year? Oh, we won. You didn't win anything. These guys won. You spent the money and they're living off of your money. But we won. And then people are in a good mood all day. Patriots win. Patriots beat the Houston Texans. Oh, now you're a Patriots fan. Now you're in a great mood. All day, all week, the Patriots are lahav to Afi Abdullahs. But when you hear a great cheer, you hear a good shmooze, you hear a great kashan cheer, you learn a great Musar Sefer, you went and listened. So Sidere Chizik, that doesn't excite you. The football excites you. What's wrong with us? Go back into those stadiums and learn from the non-Jews. You know what? Not just the non-Jews. Learn from the Jews. Look how excited we get. We go to a good restaurant, we spend a fortune. Oh, how was the restaurant? Well, did I have a piece of cake? Wow, is that a piece of cake? What about the Divrei Torah? That's the greatest achidah of them all. The Zohar HaKadosh, Parshas Emor, 95a, you can even fulfill Shalashudis with learning Torah. Ivan the Pusik says, states explicitly, V'achlu ayom, and you're right, to Magen Avraham, Mishnah Berurah, and Archaim, Tav Tzadi Dalar, we don't pass in this way, but the Sfardim Takadu, the Ben Ishchai, and Shoshuas, Ropolim, and Yordeach, and like Aleph, Simon, and Hey, Yisomech, and Yisor, and Emer, Tzadi Heim, and Aleph, Lecharchili, you can fulfill Shalashudis with learning Torah. Why? Because Shalashudis, that is the greatest achila, it's the greatest way of eating, the greatest food, the greatest Kishmak Asuda. Who in the world is looking at the clock saying, why in the world is this rabbi going beyond 1 o'clock? Doesn't he know we want to eat lunch? You bet I know you want to eat lunch. What greater lunch is there than hearing more words of Divrei Torah? Isn't that the greatest achila in the world? Rabbeinu Bachai in his introduction to his parish in Parshas Vayakel. Moshe Rabbeinu was chetzio lamata. He had to be mafarnis to sustain his lower half. He was still a boss of a dog. When you're on the top of Har Sinai, that becomes your achila. That was his food, the greatest, most delicious culinary delight in the world. Adds the Ksav Sefer, turning now to his drushes. In the drushes Ksav Sefer, in the Machon Ksav Sefer edition, it's on Daf Kuf Pei Dalet 184, and his Psicha Lebnei HaYeshiva. And the Ksav Sefer says, let's go to the Gemara and Brachos Chavches, and based Filos from Nechudia Ben Akona. And Rabbi Nachunya ben Akona said, "Hey Mashkimim, Anu Mashkimim, Hey Mashkimim, Anu Mashkimim, the Brei Torah, Hey Mashkimim, the Dvar Matelim." Asks the Ksav Sefer, "Why in the world do I need to mention? It's superfluous. Who cares about what the guy is doing?" Says, "No, he wanted to teach his Talmidim and his Chaverim." And that if they could get up early in the morning, if they could train for their Olympics for 10, 15 years, do we train to go out and disseminate Torah? Do we sit in yeshiva for the amount of time that the Olympic athletes train every ounce of energy that they've got? Do we borrow that model? Do we ingrain our kaichas with those same abilities? We can get up early in the morning, because if the goyim are getting up early in the morning for their narashkeit, if the Arabs are getting up in the morning to pray at 4 o'clock, we can't do the same. But what are they getting up early in the morning for? At least that, Hashem says, at least the same excitement you have for the sports, that you have for the music, that you have for the shtiyot, for the hevel avolim. You can't borrow and show me, demonstrate at least that same level of excitement, that much you can't show me. That's what Hashem wants to see in Achrus HaYomim. As the Panovitz and Rav told us, yes, we're still battling in Muhammad today. And we're called Yisrael and the Bnei Yisrael. Why? We just had it a few short weeks ago. Let's rewind to Parshas Vayishlach, Perek Lamed Beis and Pasuk Chaf Tes. And the Malach, as Rav Zalman Sarotskin and others explain, he wasn't giving him the name. He was telling him, foreseeing that in the future Hashem Yisbaruch would give Yaakov, bestow upon him, brand him that appellation Yisrael. Why? Kisarisem Elokim Yaman Hashem Atuchal. Ask the Chozon Ish. Shekolim Elosh, in a conjugation of the word Matuchal, that he battled an angel, one of God's celestial members, and he defeated him. He emerged the victor. Tell me that his name is Matuchal. Something that will highlight that he emerged victorious, and yet that's not the name. Explain the Chozon Ish. You know what the name is? Yisrael. Why? Kisarisem. Because you fought. Because that's what Hashem wants. Hashem wants the battle. Brochas tafeim and beis etzayim and aleph menachas kafir and aleph echan amarba vechan amamad avach yechab and libel d'shmaim. That's what Hashem wants to see. I don't care about how much you accomplish in life. I want to see the effort. Are you giving it all you got? Are you putting in the blood, sweat, and guts? Are you giving it all the energy and the excitement the same way you played tackle football years ago? The same way you ran to see the latest James Bond movie or the latest Rocky movie? Shtuyot, Shebe, Shtuyot. You had such a thrill, such an excitement. You went for 3 gallons of popcorn. You were over and bought the shock suit 20 times over. And you had your 4 Diet Cokes and you didn't get out of your seat for 3 hours. When was the last time you sat in the Beis Medrash for 3 hours straight without the popcorn, without the soda? That said, this is so much more geschmack than any popcorn, than any soda, than any Rocky, than any Jets game, than any James Bond movie. Well, certain James Bond movies. Why can't we sit for hours straight? I met a couple in my office a little while ago. They had a problem. He's such a diehard, rabid football fan. Fantasy football, a $5 billion a year industry. Here they are, about to get engaged, and she has a problem because on Sunday he doesn't speak to her. Because after all, if you're a diehard football fan, you got to watch the pregame show for the game number one, then you got to watch game number one, the postgame show, then the pregame for game number two, and then the postgame for game number two, and then the pregame for the Sunday night football, and he doesn't speak to her over Sunday. And then there's Monday night football now. They can't go out on Monday night, and now there's Thursday night football. All distractions, as Odessa writes in FWO, the Goyim gave us distractions. You have something to keep you busy. Music, iPods, iPhones. Something to keep you busy every second of the day. Put them away. This is life. Nobody sits on their deathbed and says, you know what, they should have spent a little more time in the office. You know what, a little more time on the phone, a few more football games. No, you're going to look back and say, why didn't I learn a little more? Why didn't I dive in a little harder? Why didn't I put the same dynamism, energy, and enthusiasm into my Torah, into my Avodas Hashem, if I care about the Abishter? Did I go out and did I share Torah with people the world over? Did I just keep it to myself? What does Hashem want from us? Show me that excitement for your Torah, for your Ruchnis. Al Muhammad, we're thanking Hashem for the Muhammad. We need to know first and foremost, there is a tremendous war out there against secular culture, secular wisdom, and all that it represents. Hashem says, show me you want to fight it. Show me you haven't lost that fighting spirit. We tell every child who comes in, it's based on the Gemara and Shabbos, Kaflam and Zayin, Amad Beis, Kashem, Shenichas, the Bris, Kaini, Karnis, the Torah, the Chupa, Maas, and Tovim. How did the child come into the Bris? Blood, sweat, and guts, writes the Machaber, the Kuntris, Elginos, Ergis, Yeranity. How do we bring the child into his Bris Mila, the child's first mitzvah? That's Neskayim. Through him is what is Bris Mila. Av Chayiv Lemolo, Kedusha, Chavtesim, and Aleph. And he gives the son of Bris Mila, and there's blood, and there's sweat, and there's guts, and there's tears. When you approach the Torah, the Masim Tovim, the sacrifice in marriage, as you go henceforth throughout your life, are you putting in the same kochos, the same blood, sweat, and guts, to borrow Churchill's famous terminology? Are you putting in every ounce of your energy? Are we doing our best in davening for Siyata Deshmai to love it, to love the Shiurim, to love the Gemara and the Mishnayos and the Rambam and the Chumash and the Musa and the Machshava and the Chassidus? Are we doing our utmost to love it? Are we davening to love it? Are we putting our kochos into it? And if we really love it, do we want to share it with the world? Or do we feel that achrayus? Don't we want to shoulder that onus, that responsibility to say, if it's geschmack and I love the Torah and I love Yiddishkeit, then how can I just keep it to myself? I have to go out and I got to share it with the world. I have to disseminate the beauty of Yiddishkeit and promulgate the splendor of Torah HaKadosh to everybody the world over. We fought Greece years ago, and unfortunately we're still fighting them today. Whether it's the Olympics, whether it's the sports, the culture, all these dominating Greek themes, worship of the body, worship of the self, it's all about iPods, iPads, iPadmax, all about I. We used to eat rogalach, kreplach, lach, lach, and now we eat bisli, kefli. It's all about the me. That's the Greek culture. It's all about the iPhones and iPads and iMacs. If you love Yiddishkeit, show the Eibishter you love it way more than your silly little phone. Show him you love it way more than whoever wins the Super Bowl this year. You love it more than your favorite sport teams. You love it far greater than those music melodies that graced your table for oh so many years. Show them that it means so much more than your biology and chemistry textbooks, that it means so much more than the lives of old. Show the Ribbono Shel Olam and show yourselves that yes, I'm still fighting against Greece, and Hashem Yisborach, I recognize this is what life is all about, the Yiddishkeit and the beauty of Yiddishkeit, and davening and being in proximity to the divine and having opportunity to learn it, not just to learn, but to learn in the holiest city in the world, Yerushalayim HaKadosh, and one of the holiest yeshivas in the world, Eish HaTaira, still burning from that never-ceasing fire of the Rosh Hashiva, Zechut Tzadik Levracha. Let's continue that passion. Let's continue that dynamism, that enthusiasm. Lunch. Who cares about the lunch? Go out and continue learning. Take the fire of Chanukah and let it burn bright. Let it burn continuously. Let the flames keep jumping all over the place. Let there be fire and brimstone, a kol ha'tayr in this base medrash, a kol tefillah in the midst of your davening. Let's see the excitement. Let's see the smiles when you walk out of a base medrash, when you walk out of a shiur, the smiles that say, lo chbatli, who won the football games yesterday? Lo chbatli, who's winning in the NHL, or where the Golden State Warriors are continuing their streak? Who cares? Machbatlanu. What matters is Torah, what matters is Yiddishkeit, because that's what life is all about. And that's what life is all about. You don't want to go back to those college campuses, and let those holy, precious souls dotting the college campuses world over, let them know what life is all about. Let them know what they're here for. Let them know what brings true, everlasting excitement and meaning. It's Yiddishkeit, it's Torah, it's Avoda. Let's show HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we're going to keep smiling and keep dancing for Torah. We're going to keep those fires of Chanukah and that Mochama going strong until Bias Gol Tzedek. Let's keep that Eish HaTorah, that fire of the Torah, alive and well. Let it keep burning in Siyata D'Shemayim, Echoy L'Echoy L'Eilu L'Eilu. Let's get together Met Hashem to keep giving Hashem Yisbarach Nachas Ruach to be Marva Kvot Shemayim in the world. Let's go out and spread those fires of Torah the world over and spread it with a passion, spread it with an excitement. Hatzlach Rabbah, thank you so much for your time. Have an amazing day and a Freilich and Zos Chanukah. Better to meet than to serve. Better to meet than yourself. Here we go.
To see you, Rafi.
Fantastic. Oh, some people you can't read.
We're still dominant.
Not sure if somebody else got it or if I stopped it.